Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Shawanda, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, and how are you?
Very well, thank you. Pastor, how are you doing?
I'm very well.
Lovely. Thank you so much for joining us. Well, we tried to call you a little earlier. I think you were not available online. So we're going to quickly dive into our discussion today. You know, we often underestimate prayer and the difference it makes. Every time you and your spouse out there pray separately for one another, great things happen in your relationship. Now, prayer is truly powerful. But when you pray together in marriage, that power increases tremendously, and so do the results. Now, going to God in prayer for your marriage as a couple benefits your marriage in several ways. Now, Pastor, there's a saying that the family that prays together stays together. Is that true, or how true that statement is?
Let me begin with vulnerability. I want to be very transparent. I asked my wife to help me with some of these questions.
Ah. Yeah.
Because they became very difficult for me. But then let me give you my wife's answer.
Mm.
She says, no, it is not always true.
Oh, okay.
Then she asked me a question. Don't you know cases in which spouses prayed together, but were always squabbling in the fighting in an epic conflict? Don't you know spouses who have attended the same local church, worshiped and prayed together, held family devotions every morning and every evening, but one of the spouses was given to committing adultery incessantly, unceasingly, and persistently all these years up to now? Then my wife adds, it's possible to pray together at night, just before bedtime, and then be separated at the bed life, in the bedroom, totally separated. We just prayed in the family together, but then as soon as we get into the bedroom, everyone looks at me, his own side. So her answer shocked me a lot. I said, I didn't expect it. So allow me to give you my answer.
Yeah.
I don't know how this is going to work. My answer is yes. Yes. If they pray together, it's good. It's important. Because it boosts spiritual intimacy with God and with one another. Praying together brings God's presence into the relationship. You know, God says, where two or three meet. He doesn't say, where one meet. Because one doesn't meet. Just alone. But says, where two meet, I am there with them. So that should encourage couples to pray together, isn't it? Yeah. And then when you pray together, the result is that it gives you love, peace, respect, and caring for each other. It fosters your unity, emotional intimacy, transparency, and it breaks down the barriers to intimacy during conflict resolution. Praying together facilitates staying together. That's how I'm looking at it. However, I would say praying together is not easy. And it's not always possible. Because life circumstances differ, as do vicissitudes and hurdles of daily life. Family daily routines differ due to varying factors. Individual attitudes to devotional prayers differ. Prayer together should not be mandatory or enforced or even involving coercion by dictatorial orders to anyone. I think we should permit a degree of freedom in this question here, so that if she chooses to pray on her own, if she chooses, we should pray together, that should also be accommodated. That's how I was looking at.
Yeah, now, you know, praying, because you're saying that it's a very difficult thing to really pray together. Now, praying for one another, over and above praying for each other. How important is that?
Praying for one another, over and above praying with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I will take you to my wife's answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Before I get to my own. When I asked her this question, she said praying together or with each other is and it must be compulsory. That's what she told me.
Ah.
She says it must be compulsory.
Okay.
It must be compulsory. It must be timely, routinely, and scheduled. She said that praying with each other is amenable to monitoring and evaluation, because you can observe yourselves doing it. She said it is visible and verifiable. It fosters oneness, unity, or closeness to each other. And she emphasized that it is observable by the children, so that they can take you as a model. They can emulate your practice. On the contrary, or at low grade, if you were calibrating it, she said that praying for each other can be spasmodic, occasional, whimsical, and even defiant of monitoring and evaluation, because it's not quite visible. You don't know where your friend is praying. You don't know whether they are really praying for you. And she even said that a spouse can lie. That he prays for you, or she prays for you, but she's just been blasphemy. I said, So she was so emphatic that it's very easy to create spouses who are liars and hypocritical, because they'll be impressing you that they are praying for you, but they're not even praying for you.
My goodness.
So to my wife, praying with each other is better, more beneficial, and more observable, and more of a model to children, and more fostering to unity and intimacy than praying for each other. Now my answer.
Yeah.
I choose to differ with my wife.
Oh, okay.
For me, praying for each other is more important than praying with each other.
Okay.
Let me tell you about myself.
I'm
mostly busy with God.
Mm.
My wife is mostly busy with people. I have developed the attitude and the practice of praying ceaselessly. I pray ceaselessly. For me, every breath of my life is a prayer. So that even when I don't pray, I'm praying. If you ask me, where do you live? I'll tell you, I live in heaven with Jesus, who is my home, who is my home. If you ask me, where is Jesus? I'll tell you, he is here. He is in my life. I go about with him. So to me, prayer has ceased to be mechanical. It is automatic, and automatic reflex as the movement of my own intestine and the operations of my own brain. I move in the attitude of prayer moment by moment, no matter what activity I'm engaged in or whether I am just sitting. So this makes me believe that my connection with God is more important than trying to get my whole family connected to God through prayer. I find that a little bit disturbing. So, having disturbed you a little bit, I think I've disturbed you a little bit. Haven't I?
Yeah.
Allow me to be a little bit more vulnerable to okay. our listeners today.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, allow me that space a little bit.
No.
You see, yes. When I was young, a young pastor, I had 3 devotional periods in a day.
You had 3 what?
3 family devotional periods.
Ah, okay.
Morning, noon, and evening. We opened the scripture, we prayed, all those periods. And we attended the church together with my wife all the time. Now I am retired. I'm turning 69 or 68 or 70, thereabout. Devotions are occasional. Church attendance, my wife is regular. I am irregular. My wife sleeps around 10 o'clock in the evening, at night. I sleep around 8 o'clock in the evening. Most of the times. That means we pray individually at bedtimes. I wake up at 10:30 or 11 o'clock almost every night to study the word of God, to prepare for things like what we are doing now. I go back to sleep around 4 o'clock, if not 3 o'clock. My wife wakes up around 3:30 or 4 o'clock every morning. So you can see that our prayers are mostly individual. When we pray together, something has happened. And it's not me initiating that prayer. It's my wife who says, let us pray. And I have never said, no, not now. When she says, let us pray, I leave whatever I'm doing, we kneel down and pray. But I don't usually initiate those prayers. Now, what I see. Do you want me to show you what I see?
Yeah.
Individual spouses' prayers, praying for each other, are vital to deepen one's spiritual sensitivity and one's spiritual intimacy or connection with God. To express yourself to God in relation to your spouse is very, very good. You can be transparent with God. You can be vulnerable before God. You can be naked before God. You tell God your strengths, your weaknesses, your hopes, your fears, your attitudes, your dreams, your feelings, your successes, your battles, your struggles, your experiences with your spouse. You may want to expose your personal vulnerabilities, you know, first to God, so that you get strength to achieve this transparency with your wife. With your spouse. You may want to be honest with God regarding your own private negative thoughts about your spouse so that God helps you about it. You might want God to point his finger at you from his word before you point your own finger at your spouse. I like to be naked before God so that I am naked before my spouse without offending my spouse. You may want God to calm you down, to give you patience, to give you humility, to give you wisdom in dealing properly with your spouse. In times of conflict in your spousal relationship, you might want your emotions to be under God's control before you burst into an unwelcome behaviors. Before you speak undesired words to your spouse, you may be irritated. You don't want to also to irritate your spouse. You don't want to provoke your spouse. You are the one who is irritated. Go to God and tell him that I'm irritated by this lady. I'm irritated by this man. How he has irritated me? This. I'm not happy. I'm angry. Talk to God. God, help me with this anger. I don't want to be so angry to a man I love, to a woman I love. You see? You can pray like, cleanse me first, oh God. Pardon me first, oh God. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. Calm me, God. Pacify me, humble me. Help me to see my spouse as you see her or as you see him. Help me to bear with him or bear with her, although she or he has annoyed me. Help me to love my spouse, even though I feel like I shouldn't. We are at variance, we are at loggerheads. You see, you can say, give me peace of mind. I mean, it's the storm of our own marital relationship. Give me wisdom, discernment, and abundant love to bury or minimize the hurt that I'm feeling, I'm experiencing. Give me courage to respect and tolerate and to discuss with her amicably. Humble me when I present myself, and also help me to understand her. Read yourself. I mean, read your togetherness in prayer, of any hypocritical pretense or speech or holiness, which is not true. So I am thinking that on my own or on your own, you can go through a prayer list of what you want to pray for your spouse for privately. You can thank God for your spouse, mention all the good things that she does and says, ask God to bless your spouse, and then you can ask God to help you, not to misjudge your spouse. Because sometimes we are angry because we are misjudging these people. You are misjudging your spouse. You are extreme in your judgment, in your criticisms. You ask God to help you with that, and then you can make your private prayer as long as you want it to be, provided it's not repeating and it's not redundant. You can ask God to answer your prayer. The more you pray for your spouse, the more you pray for your spouse, not the more you pray with, but the more you pray for your spouse, the more you love your spouse, the more you appreciate your spouse, the more you cherish your spouse. Vent your anger to God before you can vent it. Your spouse, then you will face your spouse with calmness, with a positive attitude, and with a disposition to understand your spouse. That's how I'm looking at it, my friend.
Now, thank you so much, Pastor, for that. Now, is there any value in a couple attending church services together? I mean, if they both attend churches faithfully and regularly, maybe one goes to Harare Central and another one goes elsewhere. Is that healthy?
I will start with my wife's answer. He says, same church attendance fosters unity and demonstrates that unity practically. That's my wife. She says, when you attend church together, it fosters unity and demonstrates that unity practically. And it is a good lesson to the children. She's emphasizing these things. So she says, attending separate churches demonstrates disunity. It is divisive and very confusing to the children. You see, my answer, I buy into my wife's perspective.
Yeah.
However, I still hold that, and actually I know there are spouses I have met where the wife is a head deaconess at one church, a distant church from the husband's. They come from the same house, but the wife goes where she's a head deaconess, and the husband goes where he is a head elder. Head different churches. My question is, does that interfere with their spiritual intimacy? I suggest no, it doesn't. So I suggest that we encourage worshiping church and attending church together for unity and for an observable, verifiable example for children, but that we do not prescribe that kind of unity of church attendance in circumstances that disallow it. We must be able to allow for certain flexibility, freedom of choice, and spousal agreement should not be violated or compromised because they just want to impress us. Let them worship according to how they have chosen.
But very, very interesting. Now, as we close it off, Pastor, we're not going to have time to go through all our questions tonight, today. But I do want to check if is spiritual intimacy a natural thing in a healthy relationship, or is it something that needs to actually be worked at?
I would answer that one in this way. It is natural. Spiritual intimacy is a natural thing to the degree and extent of spiritual transformation through intimacy with God for either one of the spouses or for both of them. If they are linked to God, it can be quite natural. Spiritual intimacy can be quite natural. However, it needs to be worked out through practical decisions, commitment of time, and the efforts to develop and nourish that spiritual intimacy. That effort should not be dispensed with. It is very important as well.
Well, my pastor, I must thank you so much for the time that you spent with us this afternoon. I wish you all the best and the blessings coming from above until we speak again tomorrow at the same time and same place.
God bless you and thank you so much.
Lovely blessings to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.